I'm just going to carry on with the series that we've been looking at for the past 6 or so weeks. And the series we've been looking at is called People Just Like Us. People Just Like Us. And I think this will be the last installment for the series. Then we'll start another series next month. Now, the summary of this series that we've been looking at is the fact that when Jesus found his disciples, we looked at Matthew chapter 4. They were just ordinary people like us. You had Peter, who was a fisherman. You had James and John. You had Matthew, the tax collector, who had such a bad reputation amongst the people. So these guys were ordinary people like us. So the question we now ask, or that we've been looking at, is how did these guys change from being angry, non-concerned people to people who now became the disciples of Christ that he committed the gospel to? So much so that 2,000 years later, the gospel is still making impact. What happened to those guys? How did they go from where they were when Jesus picked them up to where they eventually ended up? And what we looked at was the fact that they went through very simple principles, a very simple process that Jesus took them through. And we looked at some of those processes, and what we realized was that if we begin to follow these processes as well, we can become like that. We can become people who will have impact on the lives of others. We can become people who will be strong in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, looking at the Bible and looking at all the bits and looking at the things I believe that Jesus took them through, those are still the same set of principles that are available to us now as well. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're educated, whether you're uneducated, whether you're a child, a teenager, an adult, these things are accessible to us. So God has made it so simple, the process of transformation. So we looked at five things, over the past 5 weeks, and we'll look at the last one today. We looked at their heart. And that was the first thing we looked at. That these guys, when Jesus found them, they didn't really know anything, but one thing was apparent. They really loved Jesus. And they said, well, we'll follow you, but we're not quite sure what's going to happen. So they were not perfect, but they loved Jesus. So we saw that as the foundation. We now saw that the word of God was quite important. Jesus began to teach them straight away from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and along the way. So we also see that the word of God played a major role in their transformation. And I mentioned in that when I was looking at that the Bible that we read is not just like a history book. It's not like a geography book. It has power to change an individual. So as we read the Bible as a letter from God to ourselves, it begins to do something supernatural in our lives. It begins to change us. So that was quite important. Then the third thing we looked at was the fact that you love Christ, you want to be transformed, you begin to read the Word of God. Something will begin to happen to you and I. It will highlight certain things about us that are not in alignment with the Word of God. It will highlight the views that we have. It will highlight some of the opinions that we hold so dear, but that are not in alignment with what God says. And it's at that point that we now need to deal with ourselves. We need to say, look, this is what I prefer. This is what I thought relationships should look like, but the Bible is saying otherwise. I will subject myself to the Bible. And I mentioned that it's a painful process to give up what you have grown up with, the views you have grown up with, the views that you have thought to be true. and having to give those views up because the Bible says otherwise. So we looked at that. Then the fourth thing we looked at was vision and purpose. So we said, fine, you love Jesus, you are reading the Word of God, you are also dealing with yourself to subject your opinions and your views to what the Bible says. But I mentioned that if you do not have a vision of where God, or of a vision of who God has made you to be, or where God wants to take you to as an individual, then when the tire hits the road, and that's to say when things become inconvenient, you can almost guarantee that you're just going to take the easy route out, which is, look, let Pastor Benson sort all these things out. I'm not too interested. And I gave the example of the athlete. I said, for someone who is running, who is an athlete, who is competing in the Olympics, it is vision and purpose that will make them wake up at 7 in the morning when it's minus 5 degrees to run every day. It is vision that will stop them from going to McDonald's down the road with Pastor Benson. And when Pastor Benson rolls up one big Mac and one big bottle of Coca-Cola, although I'm not meant to be drinking that, I'm just using as an example for those who are taking notes. Another big, you know, and that's what I'm, you know, Pastor Benson is eating. The person who is competing for the Olympics might not be able to eat that, even though it's their favorite. So there's something that keeps them focused. And that's the point I made as well, that look, as believers, if we do not have the view that, look, God is making something good from my life, where I am going to be able to impact not only myself, but the people around me, vision like that would ensure that we stay with God, we stay with the transformation process. Otherwise, it's going to be one of those up and down journeys in life. Then the last thing we looked at last week, and I'll start today, was we looked at the local church. And I said, one of the things that God uses to mold us, to transform us, is the local church. And the point I made there was that there are people who might say, well, I can watch church on the internet, on YouTube, which is fine. You can do that. There's no problem with that. There are people who will say, I don't have to belong to a local church. I can go from, maybe wake up on a Sunday and just flip a coin and say, okay, I'll go to that church today, tomorrow I'll go to the next church. After all, some people will say, I'm part of the body of Christ. I don't have to be connected to one church. And what I tell such people is, okay, no problem. Some people will say, that pastor in America, I love the American pastors, by the way, that's my pastor, that's where I pay my tithe to. But this pastor has no idea that you're there. They don't know you. So when you're not feeling well, who's going to text you? No, sorry, not text you. Who's going to call you? I'm not looking in any direction. Yeah, who's gonna call you? If nobody knows you, you're a lone ranger. There are times that you just need to sit down and let someone just pray with you. If you're an internet person with no local church, who's gonna do that for you? Nobody. Who's going to annoy you in the local church so that you can learn patience? Yeah. Some people say, I want to be patient. God, make me patient. I want to be. And God says, okay, you want to be patient? Ah, no problem. Come to church the next Sunday, and that's when someone really annoys you. And like, oh my goodness. And you're like, I'm annoyed. And God says, hang on. I thought you wanted to learn patience. So if you have no local church to go to, where are you going to develop? Where? Let's even take the preaching and all that aside. You might just want to sit down and talk with people. If you're not part of a local church, how do you want to do that? Do you understand? So I said, these are some of the things that God has set in place to help us grow. And they're very simple things. Extremely simple things that we might not be conscious of. So today, I'm going to end the series and I'm looking at the last part, and I've called that Helped to be Transformed by the Holy Spirit. Helped to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to look at a number of points and we'll pray. One thing I always mention to people is that the Christian faith is a supernatural kind of, it's a supernatural faith. It is not just a faith where the Bible says, do this, don't do that, or a set of principles. Yes, the Bible has principles for life. Yes, the Bible has things that it says we should do. However, one major difference with the Christian faith is this. God knows that you cannot do any of those things by yourself. You cannot. It sounds a bit contradictory, doesn't it? But there's a portion of scripture, Romans. In Romans chapter 8, I believe, Paul begins to say, the things that I want to do, I'm not able to do them. But it's the things that I do not want to do that I end up doing. And he sees a constant conflict. But he says God helps him. So what am I saying? Jesus has left the Holy Spirit for us. The Holy Spirit is the third part, the third person in the Godhead. And God knows that you and I cannot do these things on our own strength. So the same way with the disciples, after he had taught them the word of God, after he had told them about the local church, after he had done everything, there was one thing he told them when Jesus was departing, which was the most important thing that will tie all these things together. And that was the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read John chapter 14 and verses 15 to 17. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. So we're looking at helped by the Holy Spirit. And I'll read John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. King James Version says, another helper, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. It says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and shall be in you. So Jesus was about to leave the earth. He was telling his disciples, I'm going to be crucified. So I'm not going to be with you guys physically after a while. And they began to panic. Some of them were like, wow, what's going to happen to us? Who's going to take care of us? Peter must have thought, man, who's going to help me pay my taxes? Because Jesus helped me to pay my taxes. Who's going to feed us? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And they were in a state of panic because Jesus was going, and they thought, we're finished. How are we going to survive? How? And Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17 that we've just read now, he says, look, I'm going to send you another helper. And he begins to qualify this help. He says, he will help you and he will be with you forever. He won't be with you when you're nice or when you're angry or when you are not feeling well alone. He will be with you all the time, irrespective of where you are in your journey of faith. So this was the main thing Jesus realized, that look, it's an impossible task to live as a Christian. So living life as a Christian is not trying to do things so that you can become a Christian. It is doing things from your heart because you're a Christian. So as a believer, I do not behave nice to you because I want God to accept me as a Christian. I do not do the things that I do because, well, that's what the Bible says, although I do. But what I do, the things that I do, is because of what I am inside. Do you understand? It's because of what I am inside. So that's the main thing. Oftentimes people will say, I met someone at the city center once and we're talking about the faith. And they said, you know what, Pastor Benson, this is the kind of life I live and I don't think God will accept me. So let me fix myself first, then I will come to church. And I said, look, forget it. You can never fix yourself. So the point is not I'm going to be good so that God can accept me. No, God makes you good inside, and it is the good inside of you that comes out. And that is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do, being the most important component of this work of transformation. Well, there's the first one. I'm going to look at about five things this morning. The first one is what we've just read from John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. He's here to help us. You and I need help all the time, constantly. You might be like, how do I need help? How is God, who is invincible, going to help me? How is God, who I do not see, going to support me? I mean, come on, that's too vague for me. Well, God helps us I'll come to a number of things, by guiding our path sometimes. He helps us sometimes by sending people across our path. Something interesting happened yesterday. There was someone that I hadn't seen for a long time. And I saw them in the city center. I was like, I didn't mention anyone. So I went, sometimes I can be a bit cheeky. In the center, I just snuck up behind him. I now grabbed this individual. I carried them alive in the city center. I was like rocking them up and down. Like, who's doing this to me? Who's this to me? I said, it's me, Pastor Benson. And he said, do you know what? There was something that I needed to do. And I was discussing with my wife, how am I going to do this thing? And his wife said, why don't you ask Pastor Benson? And he said, Pastor Benson is so busy. And all that. And what he wanted to do was quite urgent. And there I was. I haven't seen this individual face to face for over a year. And I appeared when he needed help. Do you understand? God will send people to us to help us that way. We might not be conscious. We might be like, okay, it's a coincidence. No, it's not. Do you understand? God will send people to help us when we need that help. I like that. I like that. Now that's American. Yeah. So, the Holy Spirit is God helping us. My personal belief is this. Anywhere I am, if, for example, I went to America tomorrow, I moved to America, not that I'm moving to America, by the way, and I found that I'm living in America, I am 100% guaranteed that whatever I need in America, God will send someone to help me to get it. Anywhere I am. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I am conscious that one of the things that God does is to help us, because we need help at every point in our lives. We need help. Do you understand? God wants to help us. He doesn't want us to do this life on our own. So he says, look, I've given you the Holy Spirit, and he will help you. So the second point we see here is this about the Holy Spirit. He teaches us things. And I'll read from John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he teaches us. Primarily, he teaches us the Bible. And the reason I'm saying all these things is so that we can become conscious. We might not be aware that it is the Holy Spirit that is explaining the Bible to you and I. There are a lot of things that we take for granted. You might read the Bible and suddenly you understand something about what you're reading. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. Now, you can actually take that a step further and let the Holy Spirit teach you things that you need to know about your work. Everyday things. I remember, I think I've shared the story before, a while ago. This was a company near London, and I'd been employed to do a job in IT, and I was a contractor. When they hired me, they said, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? And it was stuff that I could do. So I said, oh, no problem. I'll sort that out. Can you do that? Oh, piece of cake. Can you? So I was quite confident. Then I started the job. And there was this thing that I had to do. I was leading a team of people, about four or five people, who didn't know how to do this thing. So we were doing the thing, programming the thing. And my boss comes the first week and he says, oh, how's it going? I'm like, oh, just give me a week. I'll be done in a week. Okay, he said, yeah, we're confident. And that thing is really important. It's part of our strategy. He comes the second week. Are you guys done? I'm like, not really. We're just, you know, trying to get this thing to work. And that happens for about the third week, the fourth week, the fifth week. At that point, I was seeing red. My life flashed before me. I was like, man, these guys are going to sack me. And I need to pay my mortgage, you know. I need to pay my mortgage. I have these bills. And the people that I was leading, about four of these guys, they were panicking as well. Because if we didn't get that thing working then, everybody had to go home. I think I had like 1 or 2 days notice and you were out of the job. And I became panicky. I was like, man, this thing is getting out of hand. How do we do it? Then I remember that, hang on. The Holy Spirit actually helps us. And I said, wow, that is true. Do you know what I did? I just went to the toilet, the men's toilet, locked the door. And I knelt down and I said, God, Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. I have this thing I've been trying to sort out for weeks now. It's not working. How do I solve it? And within the twinkle of an eye, I just understood what I needed to do. I said, this is really strange. It just came like, I just understood straight away. I got up. Flushed, washed my hands, and went to my computer. Enter this, clicked, and it worked. I could not believe it. The guys that were in my team were saying, how did you get it to work? In my mind, I said, man, Holy Spirit. My boss now came. So what? I said, all sorted. It's all sorted. And that was my first experience of that kind of thing. I was like, so the Holy Spirit can actually teach us things that are not in the Bible. I said, Pastor B, this is a green lighter. So Anytime I'm panicking or there's stuff that I need to do that I don't know how to do, I just kneel down. I say, Holy Spirit, this thing I don't understand. Please help me. There are some times that I have to call some other people to help me as well. But at the end of the day, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is there to teach us. He's there to teach us. He teaches us the Bible, helps us to understand. So, I've mentioned that the Holy Spirit helps us. He teaches us. The third thing, I'm looking at five things this morning. The third thing is this. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. And if I look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does is he comforts us through life. I think either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul was saying that they had, when they were preaching in the region of Asia, they had so much trouble that they despaired, he says in his own words, they despaired of life. Things were so tough that the pressure was so much for them that it was like, look, this is just unbearable. But he now said in that portion of scripture that God comforted them. So the third thing we see is that as we go through life and as we face certain things in life, we need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're experiencing a challenge, people can come around you and encourage you and say, you know, take heart. They can encourage you with good words and be there for you. And that is fantastic. We should do that. But there is a supernatural kind of comfort that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, that it will seem as if God himself is sitting by your side. And there was a time that I was, you know, going through a lot, and I was like, man, I was so sad. And I was just like, man, what is happening to me? Why am I feeling so sad? Why? And I was like, really sad. And it was as if God just walked into the room, sat on the bed beside me, and he put his arm around me. And something happened to me that day. I experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So all these things that God is talking about, they're things that we need on a regular basis in our lives. God knows that we go through challenges in life. He knows that we need to understand certain things. How does it do it? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll look at the fourth thing, then I'll look at the fifth thing, then we'll close. The fourth thing we see that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers us. He empowers us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the fourth thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is that he empowers us. He told his disciples, he says, look, before you go about preaching, before you go about doing your normal Christian walk, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit empowers us. He enables us to do things that normally we will be worn out, we will not be able to do. He enables us to go through certain challenges, certain difficulties, and come out of it as if nothing has happened. Why? He empowers us. He empowers us. You know, you might be physically tired, you might be mentally tired, you might be, but God empowers us through the Holy Spirit. So it's almost like supernatural strength. Actually, it's not almost like, it is supernatural strength, where God empowers us. So all these things are available to us. God isn't asking us to buy these things at Sainsbury's for a price. No. These things are available to you and I right now. We just have to be conscious of them. Do you understand? And the last one is that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray effectively. And He helps us to pray to strengthen ourselves as well. So if I read Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And for us that are, people who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're referred to as Pentecostals, or is it Evangelicals? I think it's one of them. Anyway, we're Bible people. So this last part is that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. It says that there are times that we want to pray and we do not know what to pray about, how to pray. We might not even have the strength to pray. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, helps us to pray with groans. Now, that's called speaking and praying in tongues for us. I remember before I became a believer, before I became born again, and at my university, you'd have these Pentecostal Christians like we are, and they'd have these meetings, and they would begin to pray, and they'll be praying in tongues. And be like, what are these guys saying? Can they understand what they're talking about? Can they understand what they're talking about? This is like really, really weird. What is all this praying in tongues that they're talking about? Do you understand? Till I became a Pentecostal as well. So this is praying in tongues. And how does one pray in tongues? Well, once you're a believer, you can ask that God should baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And He gives you the ability to pray in tongues. Do you understand? And He says that when you pray in tongues, it does something to you. Number one, it strengthens you. And it helps you to pray effectively for other people. So for example, if maybe someone comes to my mind and they're in America, I don't know what they're going through in America. Maybe at best I can say, God, for that person who's in America, bless them, keep them, in Jesus' name, amen. And that's a good prayer. But maybe there are specific things that they need to be prayed for about. I'm not there. We can pray in tongues by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to pray specifically for them. And the other thing as well, when we pray in tongues, it also strengthens us inside. It's like a battery charger. You get what I mean? So, these are the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And you know the wonderful thing about all this? All these things are available to you and I now. Not later. Not when it's 2024. Not when it's February. Not when it's March. All these things are available. So we can be conscious that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The help of the Holy Spirit. We can be conscious that the Holy Spirit can teach us, give us understanding about the Bible and about anything at all that we want to know. The third is the Holy Spirit brings comfort to us. If you're sad or there's a lot going through your mind, the Holy Spirit can comfort you. The Holy Spirit has also given us power. You want to play? And He helps us to pray. So all these things, as we go through life, they help us to go through the process of transformation that God has put out for us. Do you understand? So this morning, I just want us to all rise and we're going to pray. So all these things that I mentioned, they're available to us. You don't have to wait till next week to begin to experience the person of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I'd just like us to pray a bit. And it's an individual prayer. And the prayer is, God, help me. Help me by the Holy Spirit. Help me to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. So that's the prayer that we want to pray this morning. Father, we just pray. Father, we pray that you will help us. Father, help us. Father, help us along this journey of life. Father, we thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you will help us, oh God. Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit enables us to pray. Father, thank you that you have not left us as orphans, as your word says, that you haven't just left us to ourselves. Father, this morning we ask that you will help us. Father, we ask for your help. For your strength. Father, we ask for your strength. We ask for your strength. This morning as I was praying, I saw someone, and this person is like, for the past 6 years, there's something that has been like really troubling you for 6 years. And it's like almost like a really dark part of your life. And you've been wondering, when is this thing going to end? Or when am I going to see light in this situation? Something that's been going on for 6 years. And what I saw is that now that we're in the seventh year, for that area that there was darkness, that area that there was confusion, light will begin to come in this as we proceed now. Father, I thank you for that person. I ask, oh God, that let there be light in every area where there has been confusion. Let there be light in every area where there has been stress and turmoil in the name of Jesus. I also pray. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says that Jesus took away our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we are healed. For everyone and anyone who is with us now, and maybe those who are not with us, who is ill, we send your word of healing in the name of Jesus. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I speak to every mind that is troubled at this time. I speak the peace of God into your mind in the name of Jesus. For anyone who has aggressive thoughts in their mind, I speak peace to your thoughts in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And Father, we give you praise for everything that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.